A certain man gave a great banquet. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The divine providence of God provides everything. Since the descent of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, the divine Paraclete has been with the Church, guiding her throughout her history. In 1263, a priest known as Peter of Prague was celebrating Mass at the sign of St. Christina in Bolsena, Italy. He struggled to believe in transubstantiation, that the bread and wine do become the body and blood of Christ at the consecration of the Mass. As he said the sacred words, blood began to trickle down from the host in his hands. Contrite for having harbored such doubts, he went to the nearby town of Orvieto, where the Pope was staying, to confess his sin. Pope Urban IV, hearing of the miracle, had the blood-stained corporal, or altar linen, brought to the Cathedral of Orvieto, where it remains to this day. The Pope then commissioned St. Thomas Aquinas to compose the Mass in the office for the Feast of Corpus Christi, which was first celebrated in 1265. I say that the Holy Spirit guides the Church throughout her history because the readings for this Sunday, the second after Pentecost, were already well established for centuries before Corpus Christi, with its 8-day celebration, came on the scene. The parable of our Lord that the liturgy presents to us today has serious Eucharistic overtones. A certain man gave a great banquet, and he invited many. The ancient fathers have interpreted the certain man to be God himself, who wishes to give us of his bounty. What good things would man expect from his Creator? Maybe after the present life, the tranquil fields of Elysium, or the beer kegs of Valhalla. In our littleness, we would expect little, but God is greater. He promises us what eye hath not seen nor ear heard, as St. Paul says. He will lift us up to himself, who is all beauty, all knowledge, and all goodness. In God are contained all things. He is the greatest treasure, and he will give us everything. His love for us is so intense that he cannot wait for us to die. Already in this life, he gives of himself in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, in the most blessed sacrament of the altar, so that feasting on the flesh of the Son of God, we might have life. What people would dare ask their God to feed them with himself? Yet our God freely offers himself. This divine generosity led St. Augustine to exclaim, "All wise as thou art, thou knowest of nothing more excellent to give us. All powerful though thou art, thou couldst have done nothing more." But turning back to our parable, our Lord continues, "And he sent his servant at supper time to tell those invited to come. And they all with one accord began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I have bought a farm, and I must go out and see it. I pray you hold me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am on my way to try them. I pray you hold me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' God invites, and many do not come. The cares of this world, the avarice, the pride, the lust, keep many from accepting the invitation. They collect pennies, while they are offered gold bars. There are all those who do not order their life so as to receive the greatest thing possible in this world, Holy Communion. If only they would see in clear light what they are missing, for as our Lord continues, 'For I tell you that none of those who were invited shall taste of my supper.'" In the parable, the man then says to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame." Here we can understand, since all these classes in antiquity obtained their daily bread through begging, the humble, who recognize their dependence on God, they readily go and receive from him what they need. What are our spiritual needs, and how does this great sacrament take care of them? Well, first, we live in a world forgetful of God, and we will forget God unless we stay close to him. Holy Communion gives us a relish and a desire for him. Second, daily we fall into many venial sins, sins that don't cut us off from God like mortal sins, but sins that spiritually weaken us. Holy Communion, along with sorrow for sin, wipes away our venial faults and repairs the damage done by these minor offenses. Third, every day we face temptations, new and old. Holy Communion increases grace in our souls and makes us more ardent in the love of God. It is that strong love that helps us to reject temptation, to flee from it, to fight against it at the time, to prefer Christ to anything of this world. And finally, we are called to be in heaven. That is our purpose in life. That's why God made us. This great sacrament is a foretaste of heaven and a pledge of eternal glory. Jesus said, "He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." That is to say, by the grace of this sacrament, men enjoy the greatest peace and tranquility of conscience during the present life. And when the hour of departing from this world arrives, they, enlivened by the strengthening influence of this heavenly food, will ascend to unfading glory and bliss. These are the fruits, the effects of this sacrament, the great banquet that God offers to us. My dear faithful, we may not be like those who rejected the invitation because, well, we're here now, aren't we? But perhaps our hearts are like them. Do we esteem the disposable things of this world more than the great gifts from God? Collecting pennies while passing by gold bars? Are we attached to things, namely mortal sins, that prevent us from accepting the invitation? Let us then convert in our minds and in our hearts to appreciate the valuable more than the trifle, and to desire the everlasting above the perishable. Amen. In name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.